It's too late. Actually, this is the intro for the San Carlos Computer Club. We're so happy to have you with us here. This is Emily. I'm Scott Stimson, your host, and we're at the pumpkin carving contest here.
Maravillas.
Is that how you say the name?
Maravillas.
So when's it Emily's turn?
Once I even out its eye.
Oh, you're cutting out its eye. This is the intro for the last computer club for...
Can anyone even hear you?
Sure, why not?
They can't. I don't think they can hear me.
Well, talk really loud.
Ah!
Our last meeting was on your mom's birthday, the 26th of October. And since then, we've gotten sick, gotten a little better, done some computer work, and now they're catching us at a pumpkin carving contest. Yay! And who am I with? Who's this?
Viviana.
Viviana the pumpkin carver. And who's this?
Emily Stimson.
The...
Guts.
The guts. The guts of the pumpkin. The gutter of the pumpkin, actually.
I was too disgusted to cut it.
Too disgusted to cut it. Emily reached right in like it was the brains of a pumpkin man and squirmed them out with their hands. Did me proud. And then looked around and said, how do I clean this off my hands?
I want to draw the competition with my gut hands.
Okay, well, this was just a quick thought at the pumpkin carving contest. Thought I would take a moment and say hi to the San Carlos Computer Club. We look forward to talking to you next meeting. Until Tuesday, tech on.
Tech on.
Tech on.
Again, but look at the small print.
Five.
For the first month.
548.
After the first month.
For the first month after that, it's 548. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And they're only guaranteeing, what is it, 30?
Yeah, but 30 is great. 30 is not a problem for most normal people.
30 is not a problem. However, I'm getting that with Juan.
Well, and that's an advantage and disadvantage with using Juan's system. Juan is connected to a 200 megabits per second line.
Right.
And so at any given moment, you could be getting more or less with Juan.
As of this very moment, I am getting 57.5 down.
But it's important to clarify right at this moment, because you are quite literally sharing 200 megabits a second with at least 10 other customers. And
right.
So if all of them were on using an equal amount of space, you could assume you'd get 20 megabits a second. And which
is
still
10
good.
That much better. Yeah.
I'm
10 isn't that much better for 100 pesos a month or 200 pesos a month more.
Well, and it really is stability that you'd be looking for. Like, there isn't a lot of people doing Juan in your park. There's people
yes,
that are...
Yes, there are. Yes, there are.
But aren't there still
yes,
people
there
that
are
trying to make their DSLs work as well? Because that's the customers.
I don't
that are...
know. All I can look out and see all Juan's antennas.
Yeah.
And just around me, there's like 8 or 10 just around me.
Sorry, what was that, Judy?
I said just around me in my neighborhood of Loma del Mar, there's about 10 antennas of Juan's.
Yeah, well, Juan has told me there's like 10 customers out there right now. You know, I've got his antenna plugged into the back of my house because my neighbor's electricity is going bad. But it's not the only antenna. He might have people pointed to another antenna.
No. It's only 10 on my... I'm on the second tower. Some of the people around me are on the first tower, and I don't know whether there's a third tower
yeah.
or not.
Yeah, and so what you're all doing is you're just sharing this 200 megabits per second, and
right.
as long as he doesn't have a lot of customers, then that's great. That's you have a lot of potential, and typically you don't go lower than, we'll say, 20 megabits a second on the worst of days.
And the other thing is when I'm on the modem for the Telmex fiber modem, it tells me it's not a secure network.
Well, that's probably the Wi-Fi. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well,
so
I guess.
I don't know why it would
Wi-Fi.
Not come out of the box with security. I would have assumed it did.
The guys told me I had to call or go on to MeTelmex. Well, I couldn't find anything about me doing something with the security on MeTelmex. So.
Well, it'd be interesting to see because for you to have... It would be without a password, or it would be with a weak,
no,
like
it's
a web,
got a password.
Like a web password instead of a WPK. Oh, you know what? If you look on your router, you may have mm-hmm. two references. You may have a WEP and a WKP. And if one, they may even look the same, but one is case sensitive.
Hold on. I'll be back.
Yeah. Hey, Chester, saw you pop in. Thanks for being here.
Buenos dias.
I've been talking with Jim this morning, not this Jim, not the other Jim, but Big Jim, yep. who hasn't been at our meetings. He was just sending me emails going, when are we going to start in-person meetings again? And I'm like, I don't know how to answer that question.
I'm ready.
You are?
I'm ready. Yeah. I've not been inside tequilas to eat, but I've been outside.
Well, you know, it occurred to me we should have some kind of marker for when we think it's a good time to gather, either a date or an indicator. Like we're all in green around here, but we're still supposed to wear masks to go out.
Yes, that's fine.
Yeah.
I still wear a mask in the States to go out. I'm one of the few.
Yeah, one of the only ones in the States. Judy. I am too. Yeah. I'm sorry, Jim, what was that?
I just said Judy and me both.
I haven't gotten my booster yet. I got Johnson & Johnson to begin with, so it's just, you know, recently that I can get my booster. And I see that they're having a walk-in clinic in Rio Rico next week, but I don't know that I'm ready to drive again to the border.
Well, one thing around here is they still haven't vaccinated children under 18, and they don't have places where you can get vaccinated. They're still doing like roll call vaccinations. They mm-hmm. have vaccination days. And so we're having waves of vaccinations coming through our communities, and you sign up for them and wait.
Right.
Like a vaccination train.
But I've decided I'm going to get Johnson & Johnson. I'm not going to mix and match.
Okay. Well, from what I read about the Johnson & Johnson, what you're doing is bringing up its efficiency, right? You're bringing it from like 65 to 95.
And that's what you're doing with all the boosters.
Wait, from what I understand, at least with the Pfizer, is that your immunity is deteriorating, and so you're bumping it back up again. Whereas with the Johnson & Johnson, from their studies, you're starting at a lower efficiency. Mm-hmm. And by adding the booster, that's why there is no time period for the Johnson & Johnson, or it's not like a six-month time period. I think it's like a two-month time period.
2 months, yeah.
Yeah, they want you to get the booster, is because it started lower and it's deteriorating, and so you're boosting it back up to that 95.
So make your bed, Bill.
I had to warn Cheryl that we were live, and she just come out of the shower, so she was
gone. Make your bed.
I don't want to. I just want to brag about my view.
Where are you?
We're in Vegas looking over the Bellagio fountains.
Nice.
But we're in a different tower, so the parking lot and trees block our view of the fountains. But we still have a really big view of the strip at night with all the neon flashy light things.
Did you win back the cost of jumping the border yet?
No, but we put a dint in it. Cheryl hit her first royal 2 days ago, so that brought us back up to even.
Good. Oh. So, Scott, there's only one password on the front of my modem.
Okay. What about on the bottom of it?
You didn't tell me to turn it over.
A lot of times they use the serial number for the password.
No, it's got an actual
password. So, Scott, my antenna faces your house.
Okay. That's the antenna I'm using, too, that tower there in the Ranchitos.
But I think when we're not in San Carlos, we can turn off our internet at the Telmex.
Yeah.
And keep the landline. You want to keep the landline, otherwise you'll lose your number.
Well, I think with the fiber optic installation, they should be able to give you, they should be able to hold your number anyway. They should have an abundance of numbers these days. But you're not fighting for that connection with your, is Bill actually making the bed? Because it's a really noisy bed making. I'm going to mute him. Yeah, it seems like their database should be able to hang on to your phone number so that you can have it back. All they have to do is offer like a vacation plan, which they've done in the past for the copper lines when they had an abundance, and then took away when they didn't have an abundance.
Well, one time when we came back, we had internet but no landline, and I talked to them and they said, "Oh, we'll fix that." And I got the landline back, but lost the internet. And then I had to go back to them, and apparently there was some manager, and I don't think she's there anymore. I think she was her last summer. Been switching things around.
Done with that. Oh, I guess they stopped making noise. My daughter was here in the background doing school in my office because we're having the solar installation happening right now.
So I heard that.
They're up on the roof right now, drilling into the roof, making lots of noise, and Bibi couldn't concentrate, so I had her behind me for a while. Ooh, we've got 2 minutes. We're on the 2 minute countdown.
So the WPA password is the same one that I put in.
WPA?
Mm-hmm.
And does it say WPK anywhere? Or PK? No. PK? No. PKS?
No. On the bottom, it just says the WPA password with a barcode. It says the serial number with the barcode and one other thing. Still other password.
It's not even 10 o'clock yet.
Well, you said 2 minute warning.
Two-minute warning, yeah. How much more time have we got?
2 minutes.
We're close. We're close. I'm going to open it up very
soon. Don't do it, Scott. Don't do it.
So I'm curious if it's WPA2, because there's WPA1 and WPA2, but we're at a point where they may just say WPA on the label and it is actually 2, or it might be...
Well, I don't know. It doesn't say 1 or 2. It just says WPA.
Yeah, the only way to know for certain would be to look inside the router, which is easy enough to do, and see what it's configured for. Hopefully it would be configured to do WPA2 first, and then if you don't support it, then it would support WPA. WPA would have a lower encryption standard, so it might pop off a message on your Macintosh saying that you're less secure.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
So it might be an indicator that you're not connecting to the device at a higher level of possible encryption. And the question really becomes, is it the device or is it the laptop? And the device could be configured.
It says the same. It says it on my laptop. I don't know if it says it on my... I haven't actually used it on my iPad because I don't like the unsecure thing message.
Okay, but what the unsecure message is telling you is that it's not using the highest form of encryption for some reason. And right. it might be the laptop, so a good test would be another device. The device, the router that you're in, it would be really strange. It's supposed to be fairly new equipment. It would be very strange if it started out with lower security. It might be
It looks very similar to Juan's router. It doesn't look anything like my fiber router.
We're talking about the fiber router, right?
Yeah, and it looks very similar to Juan's router. It doesn't look anything like my fiber router in the States.
Because it's a Huawei router in here.
Scott,
yeah.
I just logged on to that particular Infinitum and on my iPhone, and it says weak security.
Weak security.
It says WPA, WPA2 is not considered secure. If this is your Wi-Fi network, configure the router to use WPA2 or WPA3.
All right. Well, there you go.
That's what my phone tells me.
So this router is either antiquated or it's previously set up. I think what I would do is I would reset the router at some point, use the reset button. That's something that anybody could easily do because you should be able to just reset it, do a hard reset using the button. Okay. You hold the button for a few seconds. It takes a long time to come back on, so don't do it now while we're about to start club.
No, I won't. Well, I'm not using that device anyway, so.
Yeah, and I'm just realizing we're supposed to be going now, but I'm going to give us a minute countdown anyway, even though we're 2 minutes into it. We're a little behind schedule, but that's okay. The device itself, maybe because locally, Guaymas, San Carlos, maybe they're they're having to inventory and reuse these routers. And maybe they have given you a router that was previously set up. Because most of this equipment comes out of the box with the higher level of encryption to begin with. And then if your device can't connect to it at that higher level, then it drops down to the lower level. So it starts at 2 and goes down to 1, or WPA 2 and it goes down to WPA 1.
So rather than hold the button, I can just unplug it, right?
No, this is different. What we're describing is different.
Push the button.
Yeah, would push and hold the button. I just clicked the button live. You guys are joining us in a meeting in progress, and we're talking about Judy's brand new fiber installation in Loma del Mar. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and we are the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet each Tuesday to talk about the tech news, tech topics that interest us, and be our own tech support. We are the IT support for ourselves, and that's why we're here today. And Judy is talking about her new fiber modem, which is starting to sound like it may not be that new. It may have been previously owned, or it may be antiquated. And we're discovering that because of the message you're getting when you connect to it through Wi-Fi.
And I am, I believe, the only person in Loma del Mar so far with fiber, because when my neighbor went to say, okay, I want to sign up for fiber, and the people said, oh, you can't, it's not in Loma del Mar yet. Well, and he said, they installed it at my neighbor's house, and she looked it up and she said, oh, they did.
So that's how we started this conversation. I had breakfast with Ray this morning, and he was convinced that you couldn't get it installed yet, that they haven't finished the infrastructure installation yet, which apparently from talking to you and talking to Ray, it sounds like all of that was done by Loma del Mar, and then Telmex is dragging the cables through so that the conduits have been installed by the park.
Yes, and that's correct. And who is Ray?
Ray Unger.
Oh, well, okay. So on his side of the park, no, it is not done. They actually pulled the wire, and I have wire into my house. They drilled a hole through my wall because they couldn't pull it through Juan's hole in my wall.
So you need a new wall hole.
Yeah. So anyway, and they said it was plugged securely. Well, that's a matter of interpretation. I can plug it more securely once I get out
your cocking gun.
Exactly. I will do it more securely then.
Well, the wire that comes out of the wall into the jack, and the wire from the jack to your router, that is all glass. The wire that goes.
I know, and they ran it right across the top of the adducting for about 3 feet.
What?
Yes.
Adducting is the walkway.
Yes,
like
sir.
You park your bicycle on top of it?
Well, I don't, because it's over in the corner where nobody walks, but it's still laying on top of the adducting.
That's got to change.
Yes, sir.
Totally got to change. That should be in a weatherized pipe to your house. I mean, at the first
exactly.
This first exposure of that wire might be tacked to the side of your house.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that would be appropriate. But to have it lying on the...
Then it runs straight across.
Okay.
Straight across to...
You know what you're describing? You're describing where Telmex's responsibilities end in Loma del Mar.
No. They did it all.
No. What I'm saying is they did. This is your conduit infrastructure is installed. This is where your cable's going to lie.
No, let me show. Okay, here we go.
All we see is your thumb right now.
You can pay the boys to put it under the end.
Okay, so hold on a second. Can you see that?
Hold on. I want to zoom in. I see. What do I see?
Well, hold on. You see my yard.
I see your plant. I see your adducting.
Okay, there it is.
There you go. I see it. That black cable coming down along the wall.
Okay, there it goes along the wall behind the plant. And hold on. I've got to figure out how to get it there. Where is it?
Judy, this is...
There's my little box, and there it is, laying on top of the adducting. You see it?
Yeah. But it's immediate, so it immediately goes to be tacked on the wall, and you have that corner where you can accidentally store your shovel and cut your glass line.
Exactly.
So I'm imagining...
And here it is.
Yeah, I'm imagining that last...
There it is.
That bit. So what about what goes into the box? Can you show us that again, what comes from the street into the box?
What comes from the street?
Yeah. Like, is it a hose that goes to the box?
No, it goes underground in my house.
Well, it goes underground, but it has to pop up for that first box. Go back to your wall is what I'm talking about.
It's in Mangera.
It's in Mangera, right? All the way to that box.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And so then it's from that box to your wall that we're talking about.
That box Swan put in. So here is...
Wait, no, that box.
The box. That's the main box out in front of my house.
Okay, so the Mangera from that box to your house you had to install?
Yes.
Okay, so that is
When we built the house.
The Mangera from that box to your house is where they put the fiber optic line.
Yes, but they couldn't. Yes.
Yeah.
When they finished the installation, they just lay the fiber on top of the edicane. And my gardener waters that plant.
Yeah.
Who happened to be your
uncle. But it's worse than I was imagining if you're telling me that they terminate at that box on the curb, because that means each of you has to provide your own installation to the house. Telmex is just going to run the cable through it, but you could have that Mangera that goes to the box outside. You could have that going on into your house, and you wouldn't have it on the autocane.
I'm trying to see if I... Well, I could have, but they didn't tell me to do that.
Right. They just used what was there. And this is good info for people that are going to get these installations, because I would have that prepped beforehand.
I don't know whether I can still walk.
It's too bad that you didn't know that beforehand, because I'm sure you would have elected to have that installation, that Mangera, come even closer to the house so it wasn't on the autocane.
Everybody froze up.
No. It comes underneath everything. It's totally enclosed, and it comes up inside of one of my Ramada pillars, and that's where that box is hooked onto.
Right.
So everything of mine is enclosed except this funky installation.
So, Judy, I think we're saying the same thing. It terminates too soon in a box that you had previously installed.
Right. Yes.
And if you had previously installed that box closer, it wouldn't be on the autocane.
No, they couldn't install it closer because that's where the termination of all my lines are.
My
old phone line and all that stuff.
I think we're talking around each other, but again, it feels like it's your responsibility where that is because of the way this whole project has been put together.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, it feels like Telmex is responsible for the line following whatever conduit has been installed.
I guess. But all these other people have pieces of Mangera sticking up out in front of their house. I don't. Mine comes directly into that box out front of my house that I showed you.
Yes, yeah.
Like Ray over there has these pieces of Mangera sticking out of the ground.
I wonder if people in Loma del Paul, are you aware of that? Are you aware that you're going to have to get that hose into your house?
Well, I don't know because I have hose with copper wire going in now.
So did I.
I wonder why they didn't pull your copper wire to make room for the glass wire.
Oh, they did. They pulled my okay, so we ran that blue heavy duty wire. It's blue. We ran that when we built the house.
So multi-strand,
these guys pulled that all out and ran the fiber there to the box that's on my pillar. But then they just poked it through from the house and connected it in the box.
Well, why couldn't they run it in the same Mangera that goes into your house?
Don't ask me. They had to drill a hole through the wall.
Yeah, all these things sound to me like things that we need to advise other people in Loma del Mar about. You have become the guinea pig for these installs. And we're really fortunate that you're the first one to have it done because we can see improvements on how to approach it.
Well,
I would talk to Ricardo and see what he can do.
Well, yeah. I will, but he's swamped building these pits to run the big Mangera that's probably, this big around.
Yeah.
Through. And then there's a little Mangera about this big around that's coming out in front of each house.
Oh yeah.
Well, I would share your pictures and your frustrations with your homeowners association so people know what's happening, what to expect. What you've showed me, if I lived in Loma del Mar before I got Telmex out there for fiber, I would make sure that conduit went straight into my house. And it looks like it's probably my own expense to do that.
And the thing is that that's fine. I do
understand. You just didn't know.
How was I to know? I walk out there and and it's laying on the attic cane, and these guys are long gone. You know, they're gone.
Completely understand.
I do have his phone number, the guy, the installer, so I will call him one of these days. I was hoping I'd him, but...
Well, you might want to jump on it. Maybe you're moving faster than anyone else's. It might be easy to get help now, whereas when all your neighbors are showing up trying to get connected, it'll be hard to get a hold of them.
See, the basics haven't even been pulled in the rest of the park.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're fortunate to be the first one on board, but there's growing pains, isn't there? Because we're learning about what to be concerned about.
And I don't even know if I'm going to go with fiber.
Right.
I mean, okay, so I'm not getting any good speed. It's a shitty installation. I have a hole in my wall that's not caulked, and my modem says it's not secure. So, therefore...
Well, that is a great update on the fiber optic installation project in Loma del Mar. Good. Thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.
I'm going to share that with as many Loma del Mar people as I can so that they're on the lookout for these things.
And really, Scott, come over and look.
I will. I meant to get up there this week, but things just got away from me. Like my wife's birthday, that I need to take a second and just say happy birthday to Yuya. Today is the day.
Oh, happy birthday, Yuya.
Happy birthday, Yuya.
Okay, everybody, unmute your microphones. Let's do it. Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy
birthday to
you.
And many more.
Whose birthday?
Now, love you, Yuya. We all love you.
Well done.
Whose birthday?
My wife.
Yuya.
Oh.
Good question, Chester.
We're having a family dinner tonight to celebrate. And then we are
going. Are we invited?
No, but you are invited to join us at Colibri for the Halloween party on the 29th, where we will really be celebrating her birthday. Whoops. So I just added to our chat a link to the document of possible topics. If you guys have showed up without topics, I have a few in this document. In case you have a quick question. Okay, Bill, go ahead.
Well, we are in our timeshare resort, and their Wi-Fi is coming through at 5G, at 5, yeah, 5G, or whatever. And
you're saying it's a Wi-Fi 5G signal, 5 gigahertz signal.
Yes.
Okay.
And I wanted to hook up one of my smart devices, which require 2.4. They won't hook up to a 5. Is there any way to get around that?
You're saying they're not providing a 2.4 signal?
Well, I went to properties of the Wi-Fi, the signal, and it only shows 5. I don't know how to look for anything different.
Well, no, it should. Wait, you see the 5G signal?
Just a minute.
Like many times, what'll happen in this day and age is you'll just see a signal. And if you support 5G, maybe you'll connect at 5G. If you support 2.4, you'll connect at 2.4. And if one's flaky over the other, you might float between the two without even being aware of it, other than internet performance.
Okay, all I see.
That's how my phone is.
Go ahead, Bill. No. What do you see?
Hang on. It's...
You might just be having Wi-Fi in a hotel issues or a timeshare issues.
Yeah, who knows? Well, it's running at a stream in 4 megahertz or gigahertz, megahertz, MPS. Anyway, I go to the settings, the network profile, and the properties. And it's the old JCI guest Wi-Fi protocol, Wi-Fi 5, 802.11 AC.
Yeah.
Network band, 5 gigahertz.
Well,
that's what I see.
If you can see it, then you should support it. You can't see it if you don't support it.
I don't understand.
Well, when these signals are out there that are specifically 5G,
yes,
then they shouldn't pop up as an option if you don't support them. You shouldn't even have the capability of seeing them.
Well, but I need 2.4.
All right. Why can't you guys open this document? Here I am. I'm sorry, Bill. Cheryl and Judy can't open these documents. I put a link right here. If you're looking at my screen, you should be able to see me playing on the in-call messages. And I just click on it, and it opens the document. Do you guys need permission? I thought I sent it out earlier. Oh, I see. Judy's in there now. I think that's Judy. You're in there now.
Hold on. I am. But
are you still
there? I am in there from the email. I am not in there from the link that you posted on the messages.
Oh, well, that's good. If you can't use the link from in-call messages, then you can use the email. Maybe your browser's blocking those links. Maybe your browser
is... Okay, my issue is different. I have my old iPad, and I cannot get Google Meet on it. So I opened the email, and I opened the document on it. But as a Google Doc, I can't open it to be actually part of it. I can view it, but I can't do anything.
Okay, so this is the same problem as before. You don't have compatible equipment anymore. There was a day and age that it worked.
But on my iPhone, it shows up, and when I click on it, it says that there is an error opening the file.
Well, on your iPhone, it may be trying to make you go to a Google Docs app. Do you have that installed?
I've opened Google Docs before on my iPhone, but I'm using the iPhone for the meeting, and it's telling me that I can't do it.
Okay.
Can you just post it again? Perhaps
the same link. I mean, it'll just be a repercussion or a reproduction of the same thing,
or copy the link and put it in.
Yeah,
I'll copy it
here.
I'm
doing it again, but it should be the exact same link. I actually got it from this link.
An error opening this file.
Yeah, it's something going on with your iPhone. I'd check and make sure that Google Docs is working on your phone. Maybe you're having problems opening up Google Docs while you're in a meet on your phone.
I'm in the meet on my phone. But anyway.
But you can't open the doc
on
your phone.
Thing I wanted to add to the doc is I have an issue with Netflix and VPN use, and I see one of your topics is about VPN use, so whenever we get to it.
Sure. Well, out of this question list, you know, I put together this question list just so people would have a place to put random things that they need answered when they're thinking about it. And I do. I have thing on here that's saying, what's the difference in performance between cable and DSL? That's not the one you're talking about. Why are you using a VPN? That was a question that I just made up myself. And Cheryl, which VPN are you using and why are you using it?
ExpressVPN. And I only use it. Okay, we have Netflix in Canada that I've been watching a series. So now that we're here in Vegas, I have set my VPN to Canada so I can watch my TV shows and my different apps.
Mm-hmm.
And I also use it when I'm banking.
And you're using the software ExpressVPN that you download into your device. Is that correct?
And we purchased a yearly subscription.
Are you certain you have the latest of ExpressVPN? They've recently updated. I just solved a guy's Netflix problems by updating all his VPN software.
Mr. Thompson?
Well, the other
I'm not responsible for your iPad.
It was the strangest problem.
It's on your iPad here.
The strangest problem because he was able to get his Netflix. He was able to get his currently watching list, and it was a third the size of what it was supposed to be. And to make it even more confusing, the icon that represents his account had a different picture. All the users were there, all the same users. Each one of them had a different picture.
Well, and that's kind of in the middle of watching the series last night, which I'll talk about in recommendations. In the middle of watching it, at a very exciting point, all of a sudden I got this frozen and a little message that says, unable to play this title. So I went out of it and I went back to the main menu, and under my continue watching, it disappeared. So I had the same problem. So I closed the app and I opened it again, and this time it was there. So I continued along. About 4 minutes later, whack, I'm out again. So I don't know if it's something to do with VPN, if it's the network here.
I would very first, I would definitely make sure that you're running the newest software of ExpressVPN, because they have made some changes.
The question is, which ExpressVPN is she using? There's a browser version. There is a computer version. There are multiple router versions, one of which is their new software. So you can run it multiple spots.
and different ways and different software, and it works differently.
Well, she's using an app in either the laptop or the phone or the tablet.
The iPad, yes.
And if it's
okay, is it running in the browser app or is it running on the laptop app or whatever? Because they have two choices.
Is it a browser plugin that you're running, Cheryl, or is it the standalone software for ExpressVPN?
It's the app.
It's the app.
ExpressVPN app on the iPad.
On the iPad.
Yeah.
And is this the out-of-date iPad, the one that's having trouble opening up documents?
No, this is the new one.
This is the new one. So
the highly recommended Scott Stimson new one.
So the app, in my experience, I haven't seen it on the mobile device. I've seen it on the PC, and I've seen it in the router. And both places, it says this needs to be updated. I would only assume that if you looked inside the app for the iPad, if it needed to be updated, it'd probably say it somewhere. But even still, if you went to the App Store and looked up ExpressVPN, it would say there's an update, or it would just update it.
I'll run it right now.
Yeah, just to verify. It's an easy thing to verify. You always do the easy stuff first.
If you run on the PC, they're constantly nagging you to switch to the browser plugin. So I'm guessing they think that's a much better solution than others.
Or maybe they're planning on incorporating a couple of different schemes that you can do in the browser to achieve the same goal. Because, for example, this guy's problem, a third of his currently watching list was gone. Nothing, and the icon, the only other unusual thing was that the icons were different pictures. We never did understand why he would have different pictures for his icon. But we did, that the software for his router was two generations out of date, and the software for his laptop was one generation out of date. And we were able to get both of them up to date. All of a sudden, the icons are correct, and his list is filling up the way it's supposed to. Very bizarre problem.
Okay, another thing is when you connect to ExpressVPN, they say that the only legitimate way to tell your location is to run their app. However, their app always reports correctly, but I have found the connection might be something different. Frequently Wichita, but I've had Kansas City, I've had Texas, I've had LA, all when I'm configured to run in Denver.
Well, and when we were done, I mean, we had bounced around before we had recognized that we needed to do an update. We bounced around a number of different locations with no change in behavior. And then when we were done with the update, we bounced around and everything worked in each location we went to.
Oh, I have also found unless you reboot after you make a change, it's in cache and you need to clear cache to get things done.
Dave, thank you for saying that. That is absolutely what happened with the router software. The router software we updated, it said it was good to go, said it connected. We are still experiencing the same problem. I'm about to go do all this troubleshooting. I'm like, wait, let's just pull the power on it and let it restart and see what happens. And sure enough, that's exactly what it was, Dave. All I had to do after the update was pull the power, wait 10 seconds, plug it back in, and everything went back to working the way we expected it to.
Yeah, and if you're doing like I am, which is probably not recommended, switching between the Mexican and the U.S. constantly on the device by switching which router wireless I attach to.
Okay.
Or Ethernet versus wireless.
You're not turning it on or off with the dashboard, but you're just choosing a different Wi-Fi.
I'm just choosing a different Wi-Fi. It also tends to get more confused the more you switch around, particularly if you switch a location.
What was funny, I was trying to help him with it over the phone. It just didn't feel like a reason I needed to come out and look at anything. I was just trying to give him as best help as I could without charging him anything. And we were using Longmire as the example of whether things were working. And it absolutely, I would get it up on my screen and then it would absolutely just disappear. And for a while they were like, well, maybe it's just taken off, because he would report back to me, VPN's good. He would do tests. It says we're in New Jersey. Everything's working great. And I couldn't figure out what was going on until I got over there and laid eyes on the situation. Very strange stuff. But in case you're wondering, Longmire is owned by Netflix now, and there is no seventh season. Sorry, lovers of Longmire, but I've never watched the show, but I learned all this stuff about Longmire as I tried to determine whether it was still on Netflix.
Scott?
Yes, sir.
I just checked. The current version available is 11.17, and the version that's on the iPad is 1160, but I can't find a place to force the update.
You mean the App Store isn't offering the 1117 version?
It is, but when I went there, it didn't do anything. It just opened up the VPN.
The current app.
When you already got it installed, I just clicked it and it went open.
And is there anything in the app that gives you any more information?
Kind of went all the way through all of the options, and I haven't found a place to update.
Maybe it warrants a Google search specifically about that. ExpressVPN.
I found it's best to just download it and then reinstall it.
We're talking about an iPad. Oh, no, you're right, Dave. What you should do is just remove it and then reinstall it.
Uninstall it and reinstall it.
That's right.
Yes. I'll give it a shot right now. Thank you. It's sitting here right beside me.
Thank you all for reminding me that is a catch-all for a lot of these problems.
Yeah, I should have realized that as well.
Many of these apps, like I've got updates going on my phone every day. There seems to be like 10 apps that do an automatic install every day on my phone. It's not always the same 10 because I've got over 100 apps on my phone. So with that many apps, at least 10 of them every day are downloading and updating, installing themselves. And every occasionally you go to that app and it's just not working right. And just like Dave said, just like Judy's agreeing too, is that the only thing I can imagine is old settings and new software create unstable situation. And so you just remove it, reinstall it, and things are fresh again. Good advice for just about any troubleshoot. If it's
even
easy,
though you aren't really removing it.
Well, you're physically uninstalling it from your device and then reinstalling it.
It's still up there in the cloud.
That's right. That's exactly where it is not on your device. It is on a shelf.
So when it's up in the cloud, it's not on my device, even though it looks like it is still on my device.
It doesn't. It looks like it's available for your device, but it hasn't been installed in your device.
Available is the word. Okay, got it.
Yeah, it's available for install, but it doesn't take up any space on your device. It hasn't configured anything on your device. Not until you've downloaded. I'm sorry, Fred, were you going to say something?
Well, I don't know if anybody's using IPVanish, but I got a notification that they're going from $40 a year up to $90 a year.
Wow, Sounds like they're doubling in price? They're more than doubling in price?
That's correct.
Wow. IPVanish is not the first one my customers go to, but I think it's because we're always worried about TV. We're in San Carlos. Everybody's trying to use Netflix as though they're in another country.
So which one are you advising them?
I think we end up on ExpressVPN all the time.
PIA is also good. Nord is good if you run it on a PC in the software, but if you try and run it on a router, Nord is atrocious.
Hey, Fred, is that price increase across the board for all customers, or is there a time period that's going to happen?
Well, I'm a customer, and they said that it's going up from... Basically, they didn't tell you what you paid for it last year, but they said they're going to charge you $90 this year.
So what did you pay for it last year?
I think I paid $40.
Maybe what you're looking at is, and I've done this with domain hosts, is I got in at some special rate, and then when it came to renew, I had to pay the full rate.
Have you called them?
Call them and tell them you're switching to ExpressVPN.
Call their retention department. Really?
Tell them you got a buddy that's running a VPN, and he's going to give it to you dirt cheap.
You need to call and say you're switching to PIA, which is a lot cheaper than ExpressVPN.
PIA. Okay,
are you having trouble with it? How come I'm hearing it on?
Because my hearing aids just blinked out. This one's dead.
Bill and Cheryl, what's going on?
I just wanted to state that we moved into this resort. I went to Stremio and tried it and got thrown in internet jail for it.
Oh, really? Turn on your VPN.
I was suspended for 5 minutes while they considered my sins, or I considered my sins. I haven't tried running it with the VPN. I didn't have my VPN on.
That's right.
But I'm going to try it again.
I would try it again with your VPN and see what happens.
Yeah.
So they have an automated system that's filtering your traffic and realizing what you're doing.
Yeah,
I have a question about Amazon Prime in Mexico.
Okay, Amazon Prime in Mexico.
So I just ordered, my mouse stopped working.
I just updated it
So I just ordered a mouse, and Amazon Mexico said, okay, we'll give you Prime for a month free, and then whatever it is, 800 and some pesos for the year. So I said, okay. And it came back and said, sorry, we can't do that. Try later. Do I have to have a different login than my U.S.?
No, that's a good question. And very clearly, no, you do not. However,
okay. Is it my credit card?
No, but it is billing address related more than likely.
Oh,
and somebody can correct me if they've had a more recent experience. I was one of the first to get into Prime when it became available in Mexico. And at the time I got in, I had to use my Mexican debit card because I had nothing that could verify my billing address.
That's what it was. So I do have a Cibanco debit card, I think. So,
and then I immediately removed my Cibanco debit card.
Okay.
And I was able to use my American billing credit card for everything since then.
Good. Okay.
I would never recommend a debit card on any of these services.
Never.
Well, who was it that somebody was just telling me about losing 7,006? Yeah, in fact, it was Karen. She's on Facebook saying that she just got a notice from the bank that $6,000 went out of her account across the debit card in some foreign country. Hmm. And whether the bank is going to give her that money back or not, what she's done is she's lost all that purchasing power right in that moment. And to me, I think that's exactly why we have credit cards, because they have insurance. Exactly. That's what we're paying by that interest rate for, is for them to protect us from fraud. And I would never use a debit card to make purchases online. The only thing, in fact, after her experience, this is one of Scott's golden rules. A debit card is for use in a bank ATM, nothing else.
Exactly. I really even hate the thought of putting it onto Amazon.
Right. Yeah. That's why I bring it up now, is I immediately removed it from Amazon because I didn't want to accidentally use it for purchases. I didn't want it to be there to be found. If in the future there's some compromise and there's a list out there, I didn't want it to end up on a list, because you have to protect your money when it's a debit account.
Exactly.
When it's a credit card, they have to protect your money. We've got 5 minutes. This is a 5 minute warning to switch over to the other meeting. If you've got the other document up, you should have the other meet code available to you. It's in the header of the document that we shared. I'll also share the meet code as soon as I got it up in front of me.
Cheryl, I had sent you a message asking what the name of the series is that you were trying to watch.
Well, I've watched the first season, and it's called Homeland. And,
we've all CIA. Seen Homeland.
Oh, yeah, Homeland.
Have you all seen Homeland? I think
got
the recommendation from you guys, but I'm...
Yeah, it's very good. And I don't think it's available. Well, they're all old on Netflix, Homeland, if it's on Netflix. I don't even think it is.
Well, I just found it again, but I think it's on Netflix Canada, so that's where I was watching it.
We can still look at the Just Watch site, which is always fun for figuring out where these things come from.
Oh, I always forget what that's called.
Well, you know how I use it all the time? I go to Google and I type in Just Watch space and the name of what I'm looking for. And typically, the very first link is the Just Watch link. Here's Homeland on the Just Watch link. Let's see this thing work. And... Watch now. In Mexico, it's available on Apple TV and Fubo. Oh, wait. No, here we go. All right. Fubo, Hulu, Showtime. This is all in the U.S. Apple TV, Amazon. There's 8 seasons on Amazon. Vudu. You can buy it from Google Play. It looks like Amazon, you have to buy it. What is the free? Let's see what the... Nothing free, standard definition. Yeah, it's not on Netflix at all in the United States. Let me switch to Mexico now. Or wait, I want to verify Cheryl's. Let's try Canada first. I don't know if you guys are following along with me, but it is Netflix. 8 seasons, Netflix Canada. What a great reason to have a VPN. You could VPN into Canada and watch Homeland all 8 seasons on Netflix, right? Where's Mexico?
And I understand there might be a new season coming out, maybe.
Now what's it about?
It's Claire Danes and the CIA.
CIA?
Uh-huh.
Sounds
and a guy
good.
That was held captive in by terrorists, and yeah, it's really quite good. So it's a family, but it's also this CIA, and there's terrorism, and yeah.
And she got Academy Awards or whatever they get for TV series.
Emmy.
For you Canadians, have you watched Last Tango in Halifax?
Last Tango.
No, I'll have to look that one up.
This going on the recommendations list?
I've got it recommended. I haven't watched it yet, but we're planning to.
Is that a show or a movie?
No, it's a series.
Okay.
That's all we watch anymore.
I'm just writing
it
down.
Is it time to switch?
We are
time
close.
To switch.
Time to switch. We are down to the last few moments. Call ending in under a minute. I'm logging in now. I'll meet you on the other side. And it's just me. Here we go. There's Paul. That was a nice transition for you and me, Paul. Here comes Judy.
Yeah.
Judy's with us. Chester's with us. Fred's with us. You guys are all doing a good job keeping up with this meat change in the middle of everything.
Hopefully we're not on the other side of the Rainbow Bridge.
Oh, I hope not.
The Rainbow Bridge? What is the only one I know of is from Marvel. What are you talking about?
The Rainbow Bridge is where our pets go when they die.
Oh.
And they wait on the other side for us.
I thought they just went to a farm upstate.
That could be you have to cross the Rainbow Bridge to get there.
That's where Rainbow went.
Maggie's joined us.
Hi, Maggie. Welcome. You got good timing. Were you with us in the other
She's
meeting?
She's muted.
She's muted. Not my fault. I didn't do it.
I have a recommendation for you, Scott.
I'm in. What do you got?
High Score.
Movie or TV show?
It's a six-part series on Netflix about the history of gaming.
Oh, I'm totally in. That sounds great. You're talking about from Pong on or even before that?
Yeah, from Pong on and Space Invaders or what it was. No, it's real good. I'm sure you'll like it if there's other gamers. I mean, I'm not a gamer and I enjoyed it.
You know, it's really funny. I am a late blooming gamer, if I haven't said it before. I got into gaming when I was in my 30s. When I was growing up, I had friends that had much better hand-eye coordination with things like that, and the rule was always the next one gets to play the winner. And I was never the winner, so I was always waiting for the next four guys to lose before it was my turn again. And so I never had any patience for that. So I was always the guy that had the computer in the other room. And when we started gaming on computers, then they would call me in and do the IT troubleshooting whenever they had problems with it. But it wasn't until I was in my 30s, it wasn't until I had a baby that I was helping take care of that I started getting into playing console games in my living room.
Well, it shows examples of all these games, plus the actual engineers that developed it, engineers and artists, and there's some amount of jargon that you'll understand that I didn't.
Yeah, no, that's a definite one I'd be interested in watching. I might stick it in the background sometime today. Oh, wait, no, today's the birthday day. I have an agenda of tasks I need to accomplish.
Yeah, foot massage and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. A whole book of coupons. Well, what else do we got as far as topics? I'm adding to the recommendations list, even though we haven't formally started any recommendation segment. But in classic San Carlos Computer Club style, we're unorganized and agenda-less, so we just throw things out there in the middle of stuff. I did put a couple of topics. Go ahead, Chester. What was that?
If you decide to go back to in-person meetings in San Carlos, is there a way we can continue what we're doing?
You know, I really want to, but for this to all work, I've had to incorporate three different computers. And for me to do it from Tequila's, I'm going to have to buy a new computer that can handle the capacity, which totally exists, but I don't have any budget for new equipment. So I'm not quite sure.
Why would you have to do that? You could run a Zoom meeting off your phone.
Well, again, maybe there is some solutions there. Maybe some mobile devices might make it work.
Can I back up a question? How long do I push the reset button? It made a dent in my finger.
Probably until you watch the status lights change. So like the power light would probably turn off and turn back on.
No, I'll try it later, but no.
Yeah. Most devices, you'd press the many of them use like a paper clip.
clip. I'm surprised you're able to press a button, but if it has
this a has a little black button, but maybe I'm supposed to be inserting the paper clip in there. I'll look at it.
Yeah, maybe you can't get it deep enough with your finger. Maybe you've got to use something like a ballpoint pen or a paper clip.
Possibly, yes.
Because typically when you reset, you see an indicator with the indicator lights. It just changes state. What's that, Bill?
Well, I left the meeting just as you were talking about restarting tequilas, and you couldn't do it. My suggestion is we'll just all meet at your place.
There you go. That would work. I'll host you out in my yard.
Yeah, also serve breakfast.
That's yeah, but right. what's Yuya's chilaquiles like? I gotta know.
I know that for you guys, you want to do the meeting, but I also this all started with me putting this out as a podcast and on YouTube, and I want to continue to do that. I do have a report. I mean, one of the reasons I've had to spread the processes across different platforms is because Google Meet had gotten so heavy that I couldn't do it and the broadcasting with the same computer. What has happened recently, just in the last 2 weeks, is I'm watching my performance and they've tweaked something again in Google Meet because it's just rocking. It's working great. I've got plenty of memory. I got enough CPU. I almost feel like I could be doing the broadcast off of my laptop right now, even though I was really squeezing all the life out of it before.
Get yourself an Apple with the M1 chip.
God, you know, I'm really hoping for it, Fred. I actually put some Apple topics in here. One is a link just to the Apple trade-in. They're giving good money for Apples that were just bought a year, 2 years ago. I mean, they've got some great trade-in prices for value. But I'm hoping that this new MacBook Pro, I'm hoping that the M1 was bought by pros that wanted to get on with it. And now that they've released these new MacBooks, that they'll put those out on the market and I can get them for a couple $100 less. Because you're right. That's all I need. I need one of those M1 Macintosh. It would easily handle all this. Have you been looking at the new pros, Fred? We talked about it last week a bit where they brought back the MagSafe. They brought back the HDMI port. Everybody's excited because all these things Apple took off of their computers, they put back on. What they did is they took the most popular dongles. You remember everyone was having to for the new Mac, the MacBooks since 2016. People have been having to keep in their bag all these different dongles that are USB-C compatible. A dongle for the HDMI. A dongle for your SD card from your camera. A dongle for, I don't know, whatever else I can think of at the moment. I can't think of anything else at the moment. But the idea is they took the most popular dongles and they integrated them into the package. So now you don't have to carry those dongles around anymore. And people love it. It's absolutely, it's like they were listening to people. The MagSafe plus the ports are very popular with this new super powered computer that can cost up to $6,000 if you trick it out.
Whoa.
It is. In fact, I got a kick out of it. I priced one out, maxed everything out on it. That's with 8 terabytes of storage, 64 gigabytes of RAM, 64 cores of GPU, and 10 cores of CPU. And that computer costs $6,008 and some change. It's like $6,008.43, something like that. And I just thought, how petty that they'd hit me for the $8 after we pressed $6,000.
I guess, to be honest, Scott, it was the 43 cents that threw you off. That was the break point.
That was right. If they'd been able to keep it down.
You were good with the $8, not the 43 cents.
The $8 is what turned me off. I started looking for a computer for $5,990 because I didn't want to get into that $8 over $6,000.
Are the new Apples just in 14 and 16 inch, or are they up the 24? Do you know?
They don't have the 24 yet, but I'm imagining that that's coming next. They have the 24 in the consumer product, the iMac, those colored iMacs that they announced last year. Those are all the M1 chip, and truthfully, that's an insane amount of power. And those start at $1,300. But I imagine that there is this need for professional workstations, all in one workstation. So I suspect the next announcement we have, we'll be seeing these new M1 Max and M1 Pro chips being offered in an iMac format. You know, Chester, you're somebody that's always enjoyed running Windows on your Macintosh. That is right. Still not an ideal situation yet on these on this equipment. If that's the direction you want to go, I think you're best to continue to wait, because that's just not a supported or desirable situation yet.
I bought the Apple because of the screen size and doing Photoshop. But I've enjoyed running. I don't like the Apple program. I like the Windows. So I've had the best of both worlds.
Yeah. And the unfortunate thing is that their priority is the Macintosh, not the Windows operating system. Windows has not yet been licensed for these style chips. Windows, you can get it on Intel-based chips, but to get it on an ARM-based chip, which is what we refer to these kinds of chips, they're called ARM chips, you have to actually buy a Windows product from a third party or from Microsoft. It's the only way that you can get Windows for that kind of chip. So it's not legal, according to their software licensing, to take one of those versions of Windows and stick it on this computer. And that's quite literally what you're doing, is you're taking something that could work and you're making it so that it does work, but legally it hasn't been sorted out. And because they're not offering it legally, they have no technical support, they have no solutions, they have no specific drivers for the Apple. And I think this kind of stuff is long time coming.
I understand that there are other producers now that have a 24 or larger screen. And so the advantage of getting the Apple and paying that high price is no longer pertinent, I think.
Yeah, I think, at least in your case, I think that's the case. I think that we're a long ways away from buying an Apple to put Windows on it as the reason you bought it. I think everything to get Windows on these new Macs is all hackery. It's instability and poor support, and it's not worth just a normal consumer getting into. They're side projects, but they aren't. That wouldn't be your daily driver. You would buy.
I have
that
other options now.
Yeah, you can get a very powerful Windows computer with a big screen that has better support for Windows. And what you do give up on is all the efficiencies of this new CPU. But I guess that's what I'm saying, is that we're not in a world yet where you can use Windows to take advantage of those efficiencies. So you've got kind of a hobbled situation. It's kind of hobbled together. I would never recommend anybody to get into it right now in that respect. If that was the route you wanted to go, you would want to wait until Apple is saying, now it runs Windows. And that's not going to happen until Microsoft says, now you can license Windows on all your ARM products. And neither of those two things are happening anytime soon. So it's not a realistic concern for the future. I think if you're going to replace your computer, you'd be replacing it with a PC.
Well, thanks for the view. I appreciate it.
Yeah. What else we got going on? We got the trade-in site where you can find out about which computers are compatible for trade-in. What do you got, Fred?
There are programs now that allow you to run it on the Apple. One is Parallels, and they've been around for years, and from what I understand, they do it quite well.
Actually, I've heard really good things about Parallels on the new M1s. A surprising performance. Well, and to boot, there are people that have taken the Amazon licensed version of Windows 10, and they've hobbled it on to the Macintosh M1. There's a great article out there about incredible performance from it. But I don't think these are typical solutions for folks, especially like if we think about Chester specifically, he does nothing in the Mac environment. He solely uses the hardware for running Windows. And that's a big difference from somebody like yourself or like me that would be in Macintosh maybe 80% of the time and need to run some Windows software and choose something like Parallels to run that software. It's just a different kind of user.
Well, I'm a ham operator, and there are programs that don't work on the Apple, but do work on Windows. And if you can be both on a single machine, it makes your load a lot lighter.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's funny. I don't talk about it much anymore, but I run a virtual machine using VirtualBox that runs Windows 10 on my Mac Mini from 2011. And that Windows 10 installation is my file share for my network. Because my network is Windows computers, but it's sitting in a virtual machine on my Macintosh Mac Mini. It adds a level of convenience to Mac users. However, if you're not a Mac OS user, then running Parallels is far from an ideal solution for you. If 99% of the time you crank on your Macintosh, you want to see Windows, it's not a great solution.
Yeah, but you could stay in Parallels and the hardware, I believe, is better in the, at least graphics wise, on the Apple.
Well, sure. And in Parallels, what they're doing is they're creating a virtual computer out of all those resources. So you've got software drivers and you have a fairly decent experience. But when it craps out, you fall back into the Macintosh operating system. When you start up the computer, you're running the Macintosh operating system. When you're setting securities and getting connected to the internet, that's all Macintosh operating system stuff. So if you were a Windows user, like Chester is a Windows user on a Macintosh, he never even sets the date in the Macintosh side of things. And at times I know Chester has wondered, I had trouble getting into the Macintosh side of things because he uses it so infrequently. It's just
a matter of fact, I've used it so little that I haven't updated my Macintosh program in years. So that shows you I never use Macintosh.
He's probably on El Capitan.
Yeah, probably.
It's probably some. I mean, we're in OS 11. They just announced and released a Mac OS 12, and Chester's probably still on Mac OS. Well, back when it was called OS X, 10.11 is probably what I would imagine, somewhere 10.11 to 10.13. Because
I don't know, because I don't go on to Mac.
Yeah, because it's never started up.
Right.
In fact, as far as updating the Macintosh, all Chester could look forward to is hurting his compatibility because everything's working at the moment. And there have been boot time, I've forgotten what it's called now, boot camp. Yeah, there's been boot camp issues as we've progressed into the newer version. Anyway, have we beat that topic to death?
If it's working, don't bother upgrading it.
Yeah. Oh, hey, and on that wise advice, this is the advice of Windows 11. In a nutshell, your computer may say that you qualify for Windows 11. Well, you decide whether you want to switch to it or not. But what I would say is there's no reason to get into Windows 11 until you're buying a new computer. And Windows 11 is not a reason to buy a new computer. Needing a new computer is the reason to buy a new computer. Windows 11 is not a reason to buy a new computer. If everybody understands and hears me clearly, then I don't think that you should be, I don't believe you should be upgrading Windows 10 if it's running well for you. It will continue to be supported until 2025. I double checked that date last week. I was saying it's another 5 years, but it's more like another 4 years. Windows 10 will have security updates and feature updates and is a solid operating system, and you're encouraged to just stay with it. There's no reason to upgrade to Windows 10 or Windows 11 on your current equipment. In 5 years, maybe you're going to be losing security updates. If your equipment is compatible with Windows 11, then that's a good time to be looking into it. But I'm suspecting that in 5 years, you'll be buying a new computer. And at that point, you're going to be getting it with Windows 11. So that's the advice I would give people. Judy, you're out of here. Oh, you're muted. So
I am out of here, but I just sent you a message that the reboot did nothing. It still says weak security.
What did you reboot? The router?
The router with the paperclip.
With the paperclip. Okay.
Yeah.
So then the next step would be to look inside the router software, because the assumption is that its default is WPA. And so mm-hmm. now we need to know is if does it even support WPA2? And let me say WPA3 is new. So I would never assume that it supports WPA3. And the only way to know would be to go into the software, go into the configurations of the router, and see if it can be changed to the higher security.
So the date on this new router, the manufacturer date, is 6/9/2021, made in China.
Yeah.
So.
But you know what? They have that's a problem more than likely because of the knowing Telmex equipment as I do. More than likely, that's a Huawei fiber optic modem. And Telmex installs in it their own proprietary router software. And,
it says two bands, yeah. dos bandas.
And so any limitations could be blamed probably more on the Telmex router software than on the hardware itself.
Okay. It says it's a WPA, but it doesn't say
WPA
anything. No, it doesn't say it. So anyway,
awesome. Well, you know, one of the solutions, which is a good recommendation, is to own your own router and just turn off all that stuff and use your own router. The mesh.
I know it was on my list, but it didn't come. It didn't get done.
And
my dual band router was on my list, but I just didn't do it.
Okay. Well, and that's where you might choose to upgrade to a mesh network with the little pucks that you can put around the house. They just have robust Wi-Fi all throughout the house. That might be
maybe, but my Wi-Fi is really good all over the house. So
yeah, I don't know about in Loma del Mar. It seems like that construction doesn't suffer much from Wi-Fi problems like the rest of San Carlos. You know, you start getting into rebar and concrete and Wi-Fi.
Oh, I've got rebar and concrete. My roof is total rebar and concrete.
So what's your signal like on the roof?
I don't know. It's too high for me to go up there.
Because like my roof is all foam and that mesh. And so mm-hmm. my Wi-Fi is actually really good on the roof.
Yeah.
We have signal on the roof.
Later, if you're coming over this way, let me know.
All right, Judy, I will. Thanks for the invite. You guys, how are we doing?
I have a question.
Please.
I'm having problems with my router. The company set it up. I own it. I can't get into it. They've changed the password, and I want to do port forwarding, and I can't get into it. If I reset it, am I going to lose all the connection I have to them?
This is DSL?
No, it's on a microwave effect.
Yes. So you're using an antenna, a wireless to your provider.
Correct.
And it comes down to a router device or it's in the antenna that you're talking about.
No, it's a wireless device. It's a TP-Link, I think it is.
Okay, so I don't know for certain. Fred, is your antenna also a router?
I don't think so.
My antenna is also a router. My antenna not only picks up the radio signal of the Wi-Fi, that microwave signal, but then it also does routing and authentication. And my authentication with Juan's system, with X-Pro, all takes place in the device hanging on a pole on my roof. And if I had to reset that device, I would lose the authentication for the Wi-Fi provider. However, the antenna goes down a Ethernet cable to my main router, which feeds my house, similar to your TP-Link, I imagine. And if I reset that router, it doesn't affect my main line because that's all managed by me inside the house.
Should be. And normally TP-Link, it's admin.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you change.
Did you have the TP-Link set up by someone or it was?
Well, I didn't, but it was here when I got the place.
Where you're is still in the States? Are you here in Mexico now?
I'm in Costa Rica.
In Costa Rica. All right.
That's would you awesome. Like to see my view?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Hang on a second. Well, over in that direction, there's a volcano right over there.
Wow.
Right now it's covered with clouds. But going across, I have
look
a lake
at that
out in front of me.
Is this your Airbnb, Fred?
No.
How long are you going to be in Costa Rica?
I don't know. Probably 6 months this year.
Oh, nice. Are you ever making your way back to San Carlos?
Well, probably part-time.
This is beautiful.
Yeah.
That is gorgeous.
And that's my property. It goes down there about 200 feet or so.
Which coast?
I'm on up in the mountains in Lake Arenal. Right now it's about 78 degrees here.
Oh, down you're making us jealous.
Down on the coast, it's 90 degrees.
Tell me, Fred, does anybody kite board in that lake?
I have not seen them doing it. I'm told that they do.
Oh, wow.
You know, the lake is 30 miles long. And like I say, there's a dormant volcano in that cloud over there.
So, Fred, the real question we're all curious about, how many extra rooms do you have?
And how many of us can you take at a time?
We're going to do in-club computer club meetings in Costa Rica.
Okay. You might be interested. Let me show you something.
Okay.
This is looking up the side of my house. My house is a hobbit house.
Oh, wow.
It's underground.
Oh, look at that. So was it actually carved out of the mountainside, or was it built and then covered? Look at that.
It was built. And I have a pool right there, a tub. My dog likes to lay on the top of the place.
Oh, that's very
the
cool.
The columns here are concrete, but they look like wood.
They're styled as wood.
And then I have this nice long bench. I was on it for a while, but my computer got warm. So
wow.
I can sit out here and watch the view.
Well, this is beautiful. And with weather like that, how long do you expect the weather to stay the way it is? Does it fluctuate like it does in San Carlos?
It'll fluctuate some, but I'm only, I think, 5 degrees above the equator, somewhere between 5 and 10 degrees.
So it'd be pretty stable, actually.
Relatively, yes.
I've thought the best weather in Costa Rica, from what I recall, is February through April, and then you get the rains after that.
Well, it's been raining off and on every day, and it's already rained twice this morning, but that's fine.
It is. I grew up in the Northwest. What do you got against rain?
I've got a place up there, too.
I mean, especially if you can rely on it. I always thought that was cool about Hawaii, like clockwork. There's rain.
Uh-huh.
Everybody get in. It's about to rain.
Well, the Oregon winters are like that as well.
Well, that is the most miserable form of rain I can think of is an Oregon winter.
But I think in Costa Rica, your really beautiful months are February, March, and April, I believe. That's been a long time since I've been there.
Yeah, I can watch the rain coming across the lake towards me. So I got a heads up before it gets here.
Oh, that's awesome. It looks great. You're making us jealous, Fred. You living your best life out there in Costa Rica. Well, what else do we have on our agenda here?
Oh, I got a question for you.
Certainly, Jim. Go ahead.
Technical.
Okay.
My iPhone 10 is really, all of a sudden in the last week, just slowed down to virtually nothing. Half the time, I can't get beyond a headline into the article itself, or at least not without waiting 5 minutes for it to load. Got any idea what's going on?
Have you compared and contrasted using data versus using Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I have. And I don't get much difference one way or the other.
Either way. So I think the easiest solution to those kinds of problems may be make sure you have a backup of the phone in your iCloud and then reset the phone, format it and sign back in and let it bring the
that's a very good idea.
Backup into it. It's time consuming, but it's not hard. And so it's an easy way to, you've been there before.
I've been there before. I had forgotten about that, but I can recall on a couple occasions from changing phones, backing the old phone up into the cloud, buying a new phone, downloading everything. It wasn't that long.
So that's definitely immediately you would be able to determine whether it was hardware or not. You could do some experiments, like you could try different apps. You could install a speed checker and see if it's getting the correct speeds from your connections. But just the fact that you're having the same experience on both types of networks really makes me feel like there's something corrupted. You could spend days, weeks trying to sort out, or you could just refresh the phone and it would probably sort itself out that way.
I think I'll just refresh it. That's a great idea. Thanks for the advice and counsel.
Yeah, no problem. It's always hard for me because I'm a tinkerer, and so I like to know why things are broken, and I would like to get into a project and go, oh, I can put my finger in the dam and it'll stop leaking, and knowing where that is. But if you just build a new dam, it's not a problem. And we're living in a day and age where building the dam is easier than finding the hole to stick your finger in.
That is so true.
Cool. Jim, what else we got going on then? Any other questions? Fred posed a question to me through email that he hasn't brought up, and I'm curious if you've gotten any farther on this. He said, I have close to 100 gigabytes of old-time radio shows and would like to catalog them, and if possible, put them into iTunes. How should I do this? And I thought it was a good topic for us as we're dwindling out of this meeting, as well as recommendations. Anybody have a recommendation, shout it out. We're unorganized. But I did want to hit this topic because I wondered if any of you have had this same desire, and I wanted Fred to clarify, how does he have the radio shows? Are they on CD, cassette, album? Where are these things starting from, Fred?
Well, originally I got most of them off of CDs and other ones I've downloaded.
So you've got them as data files of audio right now?
That's correct.
Okay, so what you've got is like a folder full of these things, and you've got them. You've got the file name as like the title of the show.
Some of them, yes. It depends on where I acquired them from. Some of them are, J3, Q4, And then if you're lucky, they'll sit there and say Fibber McGee and Molly, or Dragnet, or Suspense, or something like that. Where most of us are old enough to actually listen to those kind of things.
Yep.
So does So anybody out there, Dave, Bill, Paul, Jim, you guys, any of you tried to do something like this? Do you have any advice in this respect?
Boy.
Go ahead, Jim.
I just said I remember the shows well, but I didn't have any idea how to do that.
Well, yeah. I know from personal experience that sometimes it's harder to go through the work. Let me say there's a lot of manual stuff that's going to go into this because you've got files that need titles for it to be make sense on any kind of media device you might use. If you,
right.
you want to download them into your phone or use them in iTunes, it's going to be like J1, J2, J3 unless you manually hit upon you've either put every title, all the metadata in yourself, or fortunate enough that track actually exists somewhere out there and you can include the minimum amount of information needed for it to autofill the rest of those the rest of that metadata. Offhand, if you've got the CDs, they are worth ripping again with an internet connection, because undoubtedly they have now, after so much time, they have ended up in a database out there on the internet, and the act of ripping them will self-title them, which is something that if you've gotten your, if you've tried this in the past, maybe you didn't get the titles on it, but you didn't care. It would almost be easier to try ripping them again to see if you could get it to auto-fill that metadata so that you didn't have to manually go to each track putting in that information. I think that when you talk about putting this collection into iTunes and putting it into a phone or a media player, what you're really talking about is how do you get the metadata on this stuff correctly? And if they started as CDs and they weren't correct the first time, it's almost worth just wiping out what you've got and redoing them again from CD, because there's a very good chance that metadata will be sorted out automatically through iTunes in the ripping process. The other thing that I would say about this kind of stuff is that what I was saying earlier is that if you get your track, if you can get enough metadata into your track, like you've got the date right, you've got the title right, you've got the artist right, one or a combination of those things, then you can send iTunes out looking for the rest of the metadata, and it will use what you've put in there and fill out the rest of it. And so that's a way to drop the workload of having to type this stuff all yourself, is to just get that first bit of information. And not on a Macintosh, on a Windows machine, I found the media program Media Monkey to be very helpful with this. If you want to use your Parallels to run Media Monkey, I run it in VirtualBox on my Mac Mini without a problem. And what you do is you set it after a folder of files, and it displays for you the metadata that exists, if any, and then will offer up options. It'll search Amazon and different sources for the data that is needed and offer it to you as a optional exchange of metadata where it's blank. Maybe you want to put this in it. It's not a no-brainer. Media Monkey to understand what's going on. I know, Fred, you could handle it. Media Monkey, it's a little bit of a different paradigm to work with, but in the end, it's very powerful. And one of the cool things that I've really appreciated about it is it will use your file path. It'll use your folder structure and your file name to look up metadata. So say you have in your Led Zeppelin folder, you have a track called Stairway to Heaven, but it's missing all its metadata. Media Monkey will look at the folder that says Led Zeppelin and the name of the file that says Stairway to Heaven and use those terms when it goes out trying to identify this track and offer you up optional metadata to fill the track out with. The other thing that I've liked Media Monkey for, and you can do all this with the free version, you don't have to buy the pro version. The other thing that I've really appreciated Media Monkey for is it'll do the reverse. It will take your media, no, I'm sorry, it'll take your meta tag, like artist and date and track and album. It'll take that information and allow you to store that track in a file structure labeled in that manner. For example, you've got a bunch of tracks in one folder. Maybe the folder's the download folder. You got a bunch of tracks in that folder and they've got correct metadata. You can go to that folder with Media Monkey and you can organize those tracks from that one folder into a bunch of separate folders titled by album, by artist, or by date, depending on how you want to organize them physically as files. So you could take like archive of just a bunch of tracks, random tracks in the same folder, and you can use their metadata to sort them out into separate folders. Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Metallica, Rusted Root. I'm just naming off groups. All those tracks may have been combined in the same folder, but you'd like to have separate folders for your music, and you can do that with Media Monkey.
You can tell our age. My groups are Fibber, McGee, and Molly, the Datto, Green Hornet, gotcha. And yours are Led Zeppelin.
Right. But yeah, Media Monkey is an easy app recommendation. I'll actually add it to our recommend. And the only sad thing is I don't think they've ever had a Macintosh version. So you would be left at using Parallel to take advantage of that kind of aspect to have it. It is so much better than iTunes for finding metadata, for searching for metadata. iTunes is really good when things are labeled in an iTunes way, but when it's not labeled in an iTunes way, it comes up with goose eggs all the time. Whereas Media Monkey has so many different ways to look for that metadata that it almost never comes up with zero result.
So, Scott, I have a turntable that digitizes, records into my computer. Would I use that Data Monkey for that?
Well, you could. Media Monkey? I would hope that is your turntable, was it sold as a product to
yes.
RIP? So it probably came with, or you can download software to assist you. And,
okay.
And that assistance software.
I haven't been signing it. I've had it 5 years or so.
Okay. Well, if not, there's probably, I mean, who knows? They may not even be in business after 5 years. They may not even still be out there. But they probably tried to include software to assist you in this labeling chore, which if they didn't, you're kind of on your own. And everything that I just said completely applies to you. Because if you're on your own, what you're doing is you're ripping them to a folder of convenience, but they still need to be titled. They still need to be organized.
Yeah,
right. And a program like Media Monkey can help you with that.
Thanks.
Media Monkey is quite a bit more, even the free version, is quite a bit more than just labeling things, labeling your metadata. It is a full-fledged media player with special options like visualizations, and it will synchronize to devices like iPads and iPods and iPhones, as well as Android phones and SD cards. It tries to be the best of all worlds in that little niche of the of what they do.
I'd like to know if in his radio collection, if he's got Bobby Benson and the Beep Bar B Riders.
I'm sorry. I don't even recognize that title, Paul. I'm sorry.
Well, it was in the era of Sky King and things like that.
Okay. Hey,
well, I know I've got some Sky King.
Maybe we should have an old-time radio program meeting sometime. I could probably dig out some stuff on cassette that were radio programs you guys would recommend. I mean, Green Hornet's a perfect example, but all that, let me see what else. I mean, of course, Superman and The Shadow. I used to listen to a lot of that stuff, and I was considered weird because that's not what young guys were listening to. But I would collect it on cassette.
Okay, a Media Monkey question. I just downloaded it, installed. It comes up with the logo, and then about a minute or two later, Windows comes up with, you know, this program has a security violation to Microsoft. Is that normal? And, you know, I went to the Media Monkey site itself, I think.
That's odd. That's worth a Google search.
I thought. This is very the way it froze the PC for about a minute with its logo before that message came.
What version of Windows are you running?
10.
10. And is it a message from Windows or from Media Monkey?
It was a message from Windows.
Windows.
This 10. Code has a security violation.
Security violation. Let's see here. Access violation. Is it called a security violation?
I'm not sure because the new message went away too. Could be.
It is not something that I remember. Oh, but here's somebody complaining about Explorer crash after Windows 10 November update. I don't know. Hold on a second. Let me go to my Macintosh where I've got a copy of it running in a virtual machine and see if I have any issues with it. Mine is probably out of date because I haven't had to use it for any of these chores recently. But I have updated the virtual machine, so I should be running the most recent version of Windows 10.
Say hi to Scott.
Thank you. Yes, Scott.
Hello, hello.
I did one little piece of pencil. Do you remember the call of Eric's? Mm-hmm.
You know what, Dave? I immediately got a comm escalation permission ask, which makes sense because it wants to be able to synchronize with things like iPads, iPods, iPhones, and Android phones. And so it would need security. It would need to be allowed to have that kind of access to the operating system. Maybe something triggered off when you installed it in fresh. Maybe it's related to that. I don't know. I'm just letting you know what my experience was. And it immediately asked me to update to the 4.1.31 version.
This is a version 5, and now it's switched to that comment. So I'm guessing my PC seems to flag on some software I know that doesn't have a valid certificate registered with Microsoft, this type of thing.
Okay, maybe you can do that. You can crank up your security so that it's checking every single app.
Well, but most of the time it's on something stupid old like Windows Media Player or Picasa.
Yeah, but still we're living in a world where they may not want to buy a certificate from Windows, and Windows has all these messages now. This isn't from the store. It's not safe. Are you sure you want to run this? And it's all about that, getting the official seal of – I mean, it's not bad. I'm not knocking getting a signature certificate for your software. It's the best way to guarantee that it's not from an illicit source. But there's still a lot of developers out there that aren't in line with what Microsoft wants you to do.
Yeah. What's really weird about this is the long delays of these messages coming up with very little else running on my computer.
I'm not having that experience, but I'm not running a version. In fact, I was just going to go look for a version 5 because I'm running a version 4, which totally does everything I needed to do. But I didn't even realize that there was a version, an incremental update. Oh, they've got an Android version. I didn't even realize they had an Android version. That's cool. If they've got an Android version, we might just be moments away from having one that'll run at least on the new Macintoshes. Media Monkey Gold. Where's the download window? Download for free version 5. There it is. Well, this is fun. I'm going to upgrade my Media Monkey and see if I have any issues with it like you just now experienced. In case you're wondering, all the praise I cast upon Media Monkey are based on version 4 or earlier because I've not run version 5.
Okay.
We watched the 10-minute timer. It says we're going to end in 8 minutes. In this last 8 minutes, does anyone have anything they'd like to add to our recommendations list for this week? I'm going to leave Media Monkey on it as an app. Recommendations are for books, TV shows, movies, websites, applications, or just about anything that can be found on the internet that you would like to share with the rest of the group. Shout them out now if you've got one.
Crickets.
Nobody. Everybody.
Nobody.
This is a sign that the pandemic is going away because we're all outside doing something.
Dune and Foundation.
Well, Dune and Foundation, absolutely.
Dune, the movie, I have not gotten to see yet, but it's you're saying it's totally worth it?
Yep.
That's good. I'm one of those that think that the original Dune movie is one of the greatest movies that was ever made, even though it's a little slow. So that's good to hear.
Then you'll like comparing the two.
I enjoyed the miniseries, but I completely compared it to the movie, and I would always find faults with the newer miniseries.
Understood.
I have not gotten, we've gotten through the first two episodes of Foundation. Gotta say, it's one of those that you work at watching.
Yeah.
You can't just let it wash over you. You're rewinding and listening again, and you get to a point, and you're like, wait a second, when did that happen? And you're going back looking for it. Foundation is definitely entertainment that you work for. It's good, though. It's good.
Has anybody heard anything about Yellowstone?
Coming out next week.
Next week?
I think it's the 7th.
So I've got an eclectic recommendation. I have been watching, I'm on the third episode of a show called The Cleaner. It is a British comedy about a crime scene cleaner. And he's a funny guy, and it's all these conversations and people and characters that he interacts with on site as he's trying to clean after somebody's died. I'm not necessarily certain where you watch it. Let's see if I can look it up and just watch. I've been finding it in Kodi. I'm sure that means I could find it on Streamio. I wonder where Just Watch sends us to watch it.
Harvey Keitel played the cleaner in, that movie that brought John Travolta's career back.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction. Uma Thurman and his role in that was, quote, the cleaner, cleaned up the crime scene.
Well, first of all, this is an official cleaner, like the police department sends afterward.
Oh.
So he's like CSI. He's the guy that cleans up all the blood and leftover garbage after CSI is done.
The cleaner.
I think I've seen it.
And
it's a series.
Yeah.
It's a BBC series. And I got to say, you're talking about Pulp Fiction. This show is closer to Monty Python than Quentin Tarantino.
That's a good recommendation.
Scott, the other day I read on the internet that Tarantino wants to do a comedy. He wants to break out. I'd pay to see a Tarantino comedy.
I thought they were all comedies. I'm really surprised.
Well, maybe he means without all the blood and gore. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe like Three is Company comedies instead of I shot his head off.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes. With lighter music.
Well, you guys, if you're interested in this show, you may be looking on something like Streamio or Kodi, because I can't find it anywhere. It's BBC, which makes me think if you're in Britain with a license, you have access to the BBC player, that iPlayer, and that's probably where you watch it online. I stumbled across it just by accident and have really enjoyed it. It's practically a one-man show. It's him interacting with other characters, but it's like one-on-one. At least in the first few episodes I've watched, it's just been one-on-one interactions, and they're having those classic kind of Monty Python moments with each other. Misunderstanding, confusion, misdirection. None of this is what I'm looking for. The Cleaner 2021 TV. Oh, here we go. This is probably it. No, that's not it either.
Paul has less than a minute.
All right, guys, unless you've got got more to add to. Oh, I guess we're done.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Goodbye, everybody.
You guys, we'll see you next week. Thanks for showing up. I'll see you Tuesday at 10. Until next time. We still don't have a time. We're going into real life meetings, in person meetings. So we'll have to keep that on the agenda.
The meeting is still going.
It's about to end.
It's about to end. Yeah, we've got less than 60 seconds. Any last words?
Yeah, put that thing about the cleaner up where we can get at it.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Until next week, tech on. See you guys. Adios, Dave. Adios, Fred. And the meeting is over. Look at that. Well, that was a pretty decent meeting, and I don't think we had any technical difficulties all the way through it. So if you weren't here for it, you missed out on the live stream, you can always come and find links to the audio. Later this week, I will publish the podcast, which is a truncated, quicker version of the audio from our meeting. It also includes our 15 minutes before. If you're curious in our pre-show amble, you can only find it on the podcast. Check out our website at sccclub.org. If you are looking for computer support anywhere on the internet, I would appreciate it if you give me a shot. I'm excellent. I have years of IT experience working with organizations and individuals and small businesses, as well as with people with home office. Give me a shout. You can get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net. If you're here locally, well, even if you're not, you can dial Mexico, dial 526-228-55-8299. That is my cell. Talk to me directly. I will give you the best advice I can. And I guess until next Tuesday, all of you out there in YouTube land, tech on, and we'll talk to you again. Adios.